We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Should we start over? I just realized I didn't have the microphones on. Okay, we'll start this over again. Good morning. You have tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs in the driver's seat. Sister Monica's mama, Eva, is here running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Sister Melanie. How you doing over there, Melanie?
I'm doing good.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can comment under the Facebook Live, and we will do our best to get it on paper and pray about halfway through the program. Our sponsor this morning is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. If you would like to be placed on the book blessing wheel for the book of May, all you got to do is like, share, and comment the broadcast. Even if you listen to the replay, we'll still get a notification. Our book for May is Seeing Beyond, Choosing to Look Past the Horizon by Gail McWilliams, with a foreword by Zig Ziglar. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out, Melanie?
All righty. Well, Father God, we thank you for another blessed, unpromised day. None of us knew that we would be here, and so you have blessed us to see another morning, and it's a spring morning. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the rain that has fallen, Lord. We appreciate that greatly. We thank you for the word that you've given me, Lord, and to encourage mothers that are here, God. I just really feel we're in such a day and time that family members need to be encouraged. And so, God, I just pray that as I share the word this morning, that many that will hear, Lord, will be encouraged. They will be lifted in their spirits, Lord. They will just celebrate mothers everywhere, God. We thank you for the job that you've given us to raise our children and to be it in this stage that I'm in, Lord, of life, to be an advisor to my grown children. And so, God, I just thank you for that. And so we just give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to do through this broadcast today. We lift it all up to you, that it would glorify your name and that the body of Christ be edified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title, What's a Mother to Do? The story of Naomi.
Amen. Amen. I had a message some years ago about what's a mother to do, and it was coming by a different mother in the Bible. So I thought we just could continue on that same thing, because there's just different mothers in the Bible you could speak about, mm-hmm. You know, and this one just, I heard somebody call the name of Naomi and Ruth, and it just stuck. That's the way things stick with me, especially in writing. And when I heard that, oh, this is what I'm supposed to speak, and so I knew on yesterday that I was gonna have to get this together here. But before I even share on that wise, I want to read a poem here that God gave me a few years back. I think it was in 2018. And it's called What is a Mother? I put it on Facebook a couple days ago. But this is how it reads. One who shapes, guides, and leads the life which our Creator sent, be it her own or another, that woman is a mother. One who inspires, uplifts, and encourages that young child in pursuit of a dream, be it her own or another, that woman is a mother. One who puts aside her own needs, interests or desires to help the preteen learn the unselfish act of helping others, be it her own or another, that woman is a mother. One who sees in a struggling adolescent there is yet much hope and promise under all the broken pieces, be it her own or another, that woman is a mother. One who through all trials and tribulations has helped the adult child to mature and reach their God-ordained destiny, and yes, carry on her legacy, be it her own or another, that woman is a mother. And I celebrate every one of you all that are mothers, be you raising your, whoever it is, your niece, your grandchild, or raising a neighbor's child, whoever you are have influence in the life of raising, keeping them in your home. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you. You know, God has given me about five or six pieces on for mothers, and I'm just amazed, because by the time I end up writing something down, and I'll be thinking, well, I don't know what else I could be writing. I like that ought to cover it all, and God is so good, because nothing never covers. He always unveils something else, you know. And it's so beautiful how God does it. Next thing I know, I'll hear somebody say something or a word or two, and I'll find myself writing on the same subject, but it'll be from a different slant, if you will, you know. I remember one time God had me write a Mother's Day piece, and it was talking about all types of mothers that there are in the world, but yet God looks on all of them. It just every type of mother, you know. And I thought, man, God is so vast, you know, when he sees all these things, you know. And so, you know, I hope that each and every mother that's out there, as well as those that are not mothers, I hope that you are blessed by this. Hopefully this is something that you'll be able to share, and maybe you can share it with friends, or, you know, that are mothers, or share it with your own mother, or you know, somebody that you feel that would, you know, benefit by the message. I'm going to be coming from the book of Ruth, speaking of Naomi. And I'm going to start reading at the first chapter and the first verse. And it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband." Now, you have here Naomi's family they feel that they have to move because of the famine that has come in Israel. Now, I don't know why they didn't stay and, you know, ride it out and wait for God to provide. I mean, I'm just showing you that's another option they could have had. They could have stayed right there in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means house of bread. Maybe God would have supernaturally fed them. I don't know. But anyway, they felt because of the severity of the famine that they had to move to Moab. Now, Moab was their enemy. And so we know about Moab through the earlier New Testaments, going back to even to Judges, and maybe even, I'm not sure if it's further back than it may be. But this is a country, they worship pagan gods. They were into human sacrifice. And so this is not the best place that you would want to raise a family in, you know, as far as moving to, but this is what they did. And now we know they were there at least 10 years plus, you know, because of the sons that took women of Moab to marry. And it says that they were there 10 years. And so the first devastating thing that has happened is the famine. Okay, keep that in mind. That's the first devastating thing that's happened to cause them to move out of Bethlehem. Now, as they go on and they live, Naomi's husband dies first. Naomi is the matriarch of the family. And then as the years go by, both her sons also die. Now, she's dealing with things on an unprecedented level here for her. And her being the matriarch of the family, here she is now with major disappointment, disaster, and devastation. And so, and sometimes these things come in our lives without warning. Sometimes these things pop up, and it takes us for a loop, as you know the saying goes. And so here she is, having lost all that she came out of Bethlehem with. She picked up a couple of daughter-in-laws on the way. And now, after, you know, surviving the disaster of the famine, and this disaster comes, death, having, you know, lost them, she just feels that, you know, I need to go back home. I need to just, you know, pack up my whatever little gatherings of clothes and things. I need to just return back from whence I have come. And furthermore, the scripture says, when you read on further to verse 6, it says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. So you see, God has been making provision for these people, visiting his people and giving them bread. So she decides that, you know, I need to go back. If God is, you know, blessing the people with bread, at least I will have food. You know, I may not have no more family, you know, but I will have something to sustain me, you know, in a country. So she's has made that decision to go back home. And she tells her daughter-in-laws to return back to their people. And it took a little, just a little bit persuading of Orpah to go back. She at first said that she, you know, wouldn't, but then after a little persuasion by Naomi, she decides that she would go back. But Ruth, she's, I don't want to use the word dead set, but she's, you know, has seen the faith of Naomi in all of these devastating events. And she must see something and this godly woman to make up in her mind that I'm not going back to my family. I'm not going back to my mother's household, because that's what Naomi had told her to do. I'm not going back to my way of life that I was living. So when you think about Ruth not going back to Moab when she had her own way of living. But now, see, after being away from Moab, she has adopted the lifestyle of Naomi and their family. And she has adopted this lifestyle so till she has seen a living faith in this woman, and they have bonded in this faith through the crisis that they have, you know, experienced. And this, you know, this is a good thing, you know, especially when you're talking about mother-in-laws, because people have, you know, they seem to give mother-in-laws a bad rap. I don't have any son-in-laws or daughter-in-laws yet. But when you look at the type of relationship that they had, Ruth had to see something in Naomi that would cause her to say that, no, I'm not going back to my own people. I'm going to stay with you. And a matter of fact, when she got down, gets down to verse 16, it says, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. She was so determined in her faith to follow her mother-in-law. And you got to realize what she's following. She says, I'm just not just following a mere woman back to her homeland, which was, you know, good to know that God was providing bread for them. But she's following a godly woman. She's following the faith of this woman. She's following the lifestyle of this woman. See, it's more than just following the woman herself, but she's following a pattern of things that she feels that will benefit her. Because if she didn't, she wouldn't follow her. She would have just turned around and said, okay, let me go on back to where I came from. You know, I can do bad all by myself than what I've done, you know, out here losing my husband, you know, and so forth. But that's not her thinking. That's not her way of thinking at all. But she's thinking, you know, I'm going to stick with her to the end. We've bonded through the things that we have experienced, and I'm not going to cause her to go back even more in isolation without anybody being with her at all. And you know, I told you about the gods of the Moabite. Well, the chief god of the Moabite was Chemosh, and you'll find that in Judges 11 and 24. And some of the writings that you find about this god say that he, most likely the name means destroyer, subduer, or fish god. Now, that just, to me, doesn't sound like something I'd want to go back to either. That just doesn't sound, just the first name itself, destroyer. They've already had enough devastation. Why you want to go to something else that's going to bring more devastation? No. That's not the place you want to be. And so what I want you to see in that, mothers, or whoever you are, grandmother, mother-in-law, the one that's playing a mother figure in somebody's life, are we exhibiting a true and living faith that our children or others would desire to follow? Think about that for a moment. Are we exhibiting a true and living faith that our children and that those that we are have an impact in their lives, that they are seeing and would desire to follow? And this day and time, it's more important than ever that we pass on a living faith, and not just only to our children, but to others that we come in contact with, people that we, you know, have a sphere of influence with. It's important. It was important to Ruth. And it definitely needs to be important to us in this day and time. Is it a faith that would cause them to not want to abandon you? See, Ruth didn't want to abandon Naomi. And so do we have such a living faith that would cause our children not to want to abandon us? And I haven't always just seen these things in him reading a story about Ruth, but as I was looking at it, you know, earlier this morning, I said there's some lessons to be learned, you know, about Naomi and what she was passed on. You know, it's not a very long book at all, but it still has some powerful truths in there about how to be as a mother. It's important that we pass on a living faith unto others. Naomi and Ruth had been together in crisis, and now they would be together in recovery. And I think that's just really, really key in lives of families, that we not let the crisis that comes in our families cause us to be torn apart and it's disintegrated, you know, and totally and utterly destroyed. We somehow or another, we got to find a way to get through the crisis that comes in our lives. We're all going to experience something. I tell you, if you have a mate, a spouse, you know, a husband, wife, or have children, you're going to experience something going on in your family that's going to be a rough spot and be you having you to try to figure out, how do I get through this time? How do I face it? How do I maneuver? How do I stay on track? How do I keep my sanity of my mind, if you will? And so we got to know that the living faith that we have in God is strong enough. If it's strong enough for us to start the journey, it's strong enough to take us through the journey. That's the kind of faith we got to have. A faith that is strong enough to start you out on salvation road, is strong enough to keep you on straight street to eternity road. It's strong enough to get you there. It really is. So we want to have that type of faith, a faith that will cause us not to abandon the Lord and to abandon others, and to stay together in the time of crisis, be together in the time of recovery. As they go back to Bethlehem, before I get going back to Bethlehem, Naomi's name means gentle, pleasant. Isn't that something? Here's a mother-in-law whose name means gentle and pleasant. Mother-in-laws don't always have that kind of connotation. They have the connotation of being nosy. I want to get in your business when you don't want them in your business. But sometimes it's not about necessarily getting your business. Sometimes it's about them just having to know a certain thing and want to advise you on something. They see something that they could help you with to advise you to avoid a pitfall in your life, you know. And so anyway, here is Naomi when they get ready to go back into town, into Bethlehem, and they people recognize her and say, "Is this Naomi?" And she looks at them and she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara," which means bitter. Why? Because of the circumstances that she has walked through has caused her to become bitter. And yes, we are going to experience some things that's going to make us feel out of character, if you will. Mm-hmm. We're not going to feel pleasant about everything. But we have to know we can't stay there. That's the thing. We just can't stay in those places where the enemy would want to keep us down, and we, you know, cannot come out of that place. Last time that I was here, I was telling y'all that I was going to Nebraska, and I went there on a women's peace retreat. And while we were there, in one of the sessions, they asked us to, you know, get to a place. We could walk outside or go to a room or walk around the place, the lead lodge where we were staying in Nebraska City. And they said, find a place where you can just get with God and be alone with God. And they wanted us to write out whatever impressions we would get and getting along with God. And also, they was they were hoping they would go in line with the scripture that was in our book. Each one of us had various scriptures in our little books that they gave out to us. And my scripture was, talks about God's anger is just for a moment. And it goes on and talks about how mourning lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And so a lady had spoke on a subject called suddenly, about joy coming suddenly. And the other lady spoke on a contagious joy, and I spoke on the last setting, which was an abiding joy. And when I thought about the first lady speaking about a sudden joy, and I looked at my scripture that talked about God's anger is only for a moment, and I was walking around. And I'm going to tell you how good God is. It had gotten cold. Matter of fact, the last day I was there, it actually snowed that morning on the 22nd of April. That was the latest I've ever seen it snow. But anyway, I was walking outside, and I said, no, these people think I'm crazy. I don't see nobody else out here walking out here. But I kept walking on the side of the building, and there was this big vent. Looked like a big old vent from where the laundry area might have been, and the heat was coming, flowing out from there. I just stood right there and felt really nice with that heat hitting me, I said, in the midst of the cold, I said, this is all right, And so I was able to focus then. I wasn't so cold, I could focus on God and everything. And God gave me a piece to write. I mean, and he gave it all to, I came back in. I mean, I just started writing it all out. Just didn't take me no time just to write. And it's called For a Moment. For a Moment. And see what, I'm going to put this in lines with what we're talking about here with Naomi. For a moment, because we have moments in life that certain things happen to us. And when I kept reading that scripture, the first part of the scripture where it was talking about God's anger is just for a moment, I said, that is powerful. We always go to the other part about joy. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I said, but what about the first part where God says his anger is just for a moment? And I just couldn't get over that. And so as I started writing, I thought I had the piece in here with me. That's why I'm looking through my book here. But it starts off talking about, let the frustration that I feel in service to others last only for a moment. Now, just get the first line there, just that first line. Then it starts talking about, may those whom I help with impatience be only for a moment. Then it talks about when the world races to ensnare me and capture me with its deception, let it not even be there for a moment. And then it goes on to say, it's another, I can't remember it all right now, but it talks about something else that you don't want it to even, let it not be for more than a moment. And then the last part says, so that when the moment that Christ appears to come and take us home, I'll be ready to greet him. See, we got to realize there are moments that we face in this life every day, but we can't let those moments overwhelm us till we're not ready for the moment when Christ comes. Mm-hmm. See, we're going to get frustrated. We're going to have times of frustration. The scripture says, it's either in 1st or 2nd Corinthians chapter 4, I believe, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, not in despair. Persecutions come, but we're never forsaken, cast down at times, but never ever destroyed. And we got to know, all of those things talks about these things come, yes, but we can't let them destroy us. We can't let them make us feel like we are totally forsaken by God. Moments come, and God knows these moments are going to come. But when these moments come, let it be just a moment. Don't let that thing be something that you find yourself getting up in the morning thinking about, going to bed thinking about all day long, because then it's going to become more than a moment then. it's done become a stronghold in your life, and you can't get over it, you know. And so that's why it has to be just, don't let it linger more than a moment. You got to know that the moment will pass. Let the moment pass. And so I don't get upset with Naomi about her moment of frustration, calling herself bitter. I don't get it, because the story doesn't end there, for one thing. It doesn't end there. And so, people, God, I want you to know, mothers, yes, we're going to be frustrated. We're going to have some frustrations in our life. Things are going to happen in our lives that causes us to get upset. But don't let it be for more than a moment. Don't let that thing hold you all day long. No, no. Don't let it go there. Because if you do, then you're going to be a frustration to somebody else in your frustration. That's what's going to happen. It's going to transfer over into someone else. I have started keeping a little baby, a little 6 month. He's 6 month old now, about six and a half month old. Anyway, I keep our praise and worship leader's little son, and they have three children there, two girls and a little boy. And it's been different, you know, since all my children are grown now, and I keep about maybe one, most of the time one day out of the week, sometimes two, and just looking at him, and he's the type of child, he just loves for you to talk to him, and I mean all the time. When you're not talking to him, it's very, very rare. I put him down his little play. He'll play with his little play stuff for a little while, but then all of a sudden he'll look up at you, and he's waiting for you to say something. If you're not talking, he's ready to start crying. And I said, but you know what? I don't let that get me all out of character. I just realized that he's a baby. Mm-hmm. He's just being who he is, you know. And so we just do something different, you know. And he loves being outdoors, you know. So I'm so glad the weather's getting warm. We take him outdoors. And he's so observant. Just, he's looking at everything. The birds, the butterflies, everything just takes his attention. The cars coming down the street. It's fun watching babies, you know, when they're in that stage where everything is so new to them. And they're just checking it all out, you know. And so, you know, you can't let things frustrate you because you're not, it may not be your everyday environment, you know, something different about you doing, you know, seeing about a child, or that you may not have been used to, you know, doing that because you done got away from that, you know, that mode, you know. Everything that comes in your life, you have to learn how to walk to where you balance out with these things, that your emotions walk in a balanced way, you know, and not let one thing overwhelm you, you know, with whatever is going on at the time. And so we look at Naomi and we give her room to have her moments, to feel the way she's feeling. She's still going to be the gentle, pleasant woman that her name portrays her to be. It's just that circumstances have caused her to feel otherwise at the moment. Now,